Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hi everyone, this is Klaatu, and in this episode I want to sort of continue my expanded magic segment, or series, that I started with the runic magic from Kobold Press, and talk about something that I did mention in that episode offhand, and that was about gemstone socketing, or gemstone upgrades to weapons and armor and things like that. This is a concept that I really latched onto after I saw it in Kingdoms of Amalur. Kingdoms of Amalur was a video game developed by R.A., or written by R.A. Salvatore, the author of all the, probably the most famous Forgotten Realms books, or at least the ones that I'm familiar with. He wrote this video game, and in it, there's a mechanic of sagecraft, and sagecraft is that you can refine gemstones that you find throughout the video game world, so you can level up in sagecraft. And then when you find gems, you can take them back to a sagecraft lab and refine them and combine them into more powerful magical stones, which you can then socket into weapons or armor, and that grants some kind of bonus. Sometimes they're protection bonuses, sometimes they're offensive bonuses or elemental bonuses. Some things only have one socket slot for a gem, some things have two. It just kind of depends. But I thought it was a really clever way of offering little upgrades to things that the player still has use for. It might be a coincidence, but in R.A. Salvatore's Demon War Saga, a series of, I think it's six books, so I think it's two trilogies, if I recall correctly. But in that world, the source of magic is from these items called Soul Stones. And the Soul Stones rain down on an island far out in the sea, and I think that the legend is that the gods deliver these stones, and that the monks or the priests of these gods go and gather the stones and then bring them back. And there's a little bit of controversy about what the monks are actually doing with the Soul Stones and how they hoard the power and so on, but the idea is still there. It's the central focus a magical focus around these magical gems. So I really kind of got into the whole idea of these magic gems for whatever reason, and like the runic magic, I feel like it's a good little mini-game, sort of a mini-economy within a larger world. There were two gem socketing ideas that I found on DM's Guild, I think it was, dmsguild.com, or more commonly known as part of the One Bookshelf organization, so drivethroughrpg.com. If you go there, you'll find your way to dmsguild.com. And there were two downloadable, just extra, you know, third-party content from random people. And so I purchased one of each, and I quite like them both, actually. But rather than covering them both, I'll cover one of them. And the one that I call them the basic and the advanced rules, because one just happens to be a much simpler take on this concept of gemstones. So the two that I'm talking about are Magical Gems and Gear Socketing by Gregory Schrars, S-C-H-R-E-U-R-S. And it's pretty simplistic, which, I mean, it's a good thing. That's nice. I mean, it is literally a four-page, including the cover page, a four-page PDF. So there's not a whole lot to it, which I feel like if you don't want to spend too much time on this whole mini economy, then this is probably the way that you go. And I guess I said I wasn't going to go through both of them, but I will just mention really quickly that in Gregory's basic version, he essentially gives you 12 different kinds of gem types, and then tells you the effect that it has if you socket it into a weapon, an armor, or use it as a spell focus. So literally everything that I've just talked about from Kingdom of Amalur and from Demon War Saga, it covers all of them. Weapons, armor, and spell focus. And they have slightly different purposes depending on which one you use. So if you print these, really it's a two-page, I think the only parts that you need are two pages. You print that out and hand it to your players and say, oh, by the way, there are magical gemstones in this world. Here's what they do. That's all you need to do to implement the system. That's the basic system, or what I label the basic system. What I'm calling the advanced is by Anthony L. It is called Gem Socketing, How to Enhance Your Weapons. It's a little bit of a misnomer, because you can actually socket more than just weapons. You can socket armor as well. So socketing is free. According to this, you're supposed to be part of the Akashic Sensitive Prestige class. I don't actually know what that is. I don't know if that's his invention. I never really explored it deeper than just skimming over the name in the first paragraph. But I figure I would just let players choose to be gem socketers as part of their as a feat or something like that. Socketing is free as long as you qualify. Unsocketing, though, costs a roll of a 1d20. If you get 16 or above, the gem is removed, fine. 11 to 15, the gem is okay, but the socket is destroyed. 6 to 10, the gem is splintered, which lowers its rarity one level. And then 2 to 5, the gem shatters and is unusable. If you roll a 1, the gem explodes, dealing 2d10 damage. Not too sure about that, the scale of that myself. 2d10 could kill a low level, even mid-range level character. So I feel that's a bit high for a gem. But I know it's a magical gem, but still, I don't know. I feel like that's a bit much. That's just me. Sockets you can assign to any number of items. So a tiny item like a ring, which I'd never thought of, I love that idea, goes up in price tenfold if there's a gem socket available. A small item like a dagger could have one or two slots or sockets, and that would be times 10 in the price, or times 20 price accordingly. A medium item, like a sword size thing, could have up to 3 sockets, so that's 10, 20, and 25 multiple. And then a large item, like armor, can have 1, 2, or 3 sockets, so 10, 15, and 20 price increase. The PDF provides a couple of interesting modified spells that, you know, like a modified version of Mage Hand, for instance. I won't really go into those. More interesting, I feel, are the different powers granted by the gems, and there are a bunch of gems listed, and I love how specific it is. I think that's one of the advantages here. The basic one is nice for simplicity and for easy parsability, but sometimes it's just really great to have 3 or 4 pages or whatever it is of, oh my gosh, it's much more than 3 or 4 pages. It's like 6 pages of all the different kinds of gems, and uncommon gems, and rare gems, very rare gems, and all the associated bonuses that come along with them. It's a lot of fun to look through, and if you have players who are keen on looking through lists and lists of items or gems to increase the power of an item, then it could be fun for them to look at it. But for instance, I'll just choose some from at random. Agate blue lace. It's blue. It gives you a +1 on performance checks. Agate holly blue, which is a blue violet gem, +1 key per day. So very, very specific stuff. Let's look at malachite, lighter dark green, hidden from divination magic. Topaz, sky blue, golden, or white, +1 on persuasion checks. And then you get into, let's go into the uncommon gems. Aragonite, soft blue, immune to mind reading. Jade, +1 strength, no exhaustion from death. And then rare gems, here's a black pearl, +1 d6 necrotic damage on hit. Fulgurite, tan, lightning bolt per short rest. Thulite, pale to deep reddish pink, +2 on charisma, advantage on charisma checks. Very rare gems, here's an opal, fire, vivid orange, compulsion per short rest. Opal black, black with iridescence. Reaction, cancel anything lower than a 4th level spell up to 20 levels per long rest. And then there are even some legendary gems, which are worth 250,000 gold pieces. So, I mean, these are truly meant to be rare. But there are things like Maztecan Tears, black-brown, +3 to AC and saves. Ruby, clear red to deep crimson, strength of 27, immune to fear and charm. And the list goes on, obviously. It's a pretty good-sized PDF. It's well worth it if you're really into this mechanic and want to make it mean something in your game. And I think that the book series Demon War Saga proves that it can be an interesting mechanic, so to speak, in a story setting as well, in a pure story setting. It's just kind of an intriguing idea, these sorts of magical, these small magical items that can upgrade larger items and give them magical qualities or little boosts in what they do. I think it's just a great way to develop the story arc, as it were, of an object. I mean, just imagine if Sting had, in The Hobbit, had developed over time. For, you know, initially it just glows when orcs are near, but later it learned to glow when any evil creature was near, or specifically when, I don't know, a ringwraith was within 100 miles, or maybe it did extra damage to ringwraiths, you know, something like that. It strikes me as not having been leveraged all that much before. Now, you may recall in one of my Conan episodes in the Conan series, I did mention that there was a wizard who inscribed, or actually I think it was maybe a priest of Mitra, or maybe Mitra himself, inscribed a rune or a symbol on a sword that then granted it extra powers. So that is something in this general domain of kind of boosting items with holy marks. So those are the PDFs that I have to reference. I hope you find them as useful and intriguing as I did. I will give you the exact links to those items in the show notes on mixedsignals.ml/CNC. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as Not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.